All right, I want you to just picture a scene for me.
Okay.
It's one of those classic, almost cinematic moments in the outdoor world. She's standing next to a pickup truck. It's early morning. Sun's coming up.
Burning the mist off a field, I can see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're shaking hands with the landowner. He looks you in the eye and says, "Yeah, go ahead. Hunt the back 40. Just close the gate behind you."
It's a beautiful image. It feels authentic. It feels like how things are supposed to work.
It does. You might hand him an envelope with some cash or promise him some venison. It's the handshake deal. It feels honorable. But, and this is a big but, today we're going to talk about why that feeling is actually a massive liability just waiting to happen.
It almost hurts to say it, but you're absolutely right. And in the legal reality of, today's world, relying on that handshake is, it's terrifying. It's a minefield.
And that is exactly why we're here. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are unpacking something that might sound a little dry on the surface paperwork, but is actually about protecting everything: your property, your bank account, your peace of mind.
For sure. We've been digging into this guide from the American Hunting Lease Association, the AHLA.
Right. And we're looking specifically at their guidance on what they call risk management packages, because they basically identified this huge gap between what people think they're agreeing to.
And what the law says they're agreeing to.
So the mission today is pretty clear. We want to uncover the legal nuances here, because it turns out it's not just about permission. The specific words you use can change absolutely everything.
Everything. We're talking about the difference between a fun weekend and a lawsuit that could bankrupt a family farm. We're talking about who's liable if someone, trips over a log.
Or if you've accidentally given a hunter the right to basically live in your barn.
It sounds dramatic, but yeah, we're gonna get there.
Okay, so let's start at the foundation. The AHLA source material says there are exactly two cornerstones for a successful leasing experience. I kind of love that simplicity. Just two.
It's deceptively simple. But the key is they're codependent. You can't really have one without the other. The whole thing falls apart.
Okay, so lay 'em on me. What are the two cornerstones?
Cornerstone number one, good liability coverage, insurance. And the source is very specific here. It has to cover both the hunters and the landowners. Both sides need that shield.
That makes a lot of sense. Hunting has risks. I mean, tree stands can break, ATVs roll over. If I fall out of a tree on your land, someone has to pay for that.
Exactly. That's the financial shield. But then you get cornerstone number two, a well-written and clearly worded lease agreement.
See, that's the part I feel like most people skip.
Oh, for sure.
They get the insurance, maybe because their bank requires it, but the actual paper agreement, that gets scribbled on a napkin or it's just verbal.
And that's the fatal flaw. The AHLA is really clear on this. The insurance pays for the accident, but the agreement is what defines the rules that prevent the misunderstanding in the first place.
The source even says that a written agreement strengthens the relationship, which sounds, kind of counterintuitive.
It does. Bringing a contract to a friend can feel a bit cold, a bit corporate. But think about it. Ambiguity is what really destroys relationships. If you think you can bring three cousins and four ATVs, and the landowner thinks you're just coming alone to sit quietly, you have a problem.
And the friendship ends right there.
The friendship ends. The paper isn't about mistrust, it's just about clarity. The source says it allows you to lease that ground for as long as you like because nobody's ever surprised.
And they use a phrase that really sets the tone, don't they?
They do. In today's litigious world, it helps to have all of your I's dotted and your let's crossed.
Litigious world. That's the polite way of saying everybody sues everybody.
It is.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the absolute core of this deep dive, the real aha moment. Because you and I, we've been using a specific word this whole time. We keep saying hunting lease.
Yeah. I mean, I lease a truck, I lease an apartment, I lease hunting land. It's just the word for renting something,
Oh,
Brett.
hold on. This is where the AHLA really changed the game. A few years ago, they looked at that word lease and they realized it was a problem.
The word itself.
The word itself, a massive legal problem.
Why? If I pay you money to use your land, isn't that a lease?
In common language, sure. But in legal terms, lease carries a whole lot of baggage. The source explains that it can be interpreted to insinuate tenancy.
Tenancy, like I'm a tenant, like I live there.
Exactly. When you sign a lease for an apartment, you're establishing a residence. You have rights of possession. You have exclusive control.
Okay, so let's unpack that. If I lease an apartment, my landlord can't just walk in whenever he wants. He needs to give notice.
Right. That's the right of exclusive possession. Now take that legal concept and drop it onto a 500-acre farm. If a farmer signs a document called a hunting lease,
and a court interprets that as a tenancy,
then legally it could suggest that the landowner needs permission from the hunter to access his own property.
That is wild. So the farmer wants to check on his cows or fix a fence, and the hunter could technically say, hey, get out, I'm leasing this.
Under a strict legal reading of lease, yes. The hunter could argue the farmer is violating his quiet enjoyment of the property. The source explicitly says that.
And I am guessing that is definitely not the intent of any landowner I know.
Absolutely not. No one intends to hand over control of their land just so someone can hunt for a few weeks. They just want to sell access to an activity.
That creates such a bizarre power dynamic. You're the owner, but you signed away your right to walk on your own dirt because of one word. So if lease is the trap, what's the solution?
The solution the HLA came up with, and this is in all their packages now, is a shift to the term license.
License. Like a driver's license. Or a fishing license.
Think of it more like a movie ticket. A movie ticket is a license.
Okay, walk me through that.
When you buy a movie ticket, you get a license. It gives you the right to enter a specific space for a specific purpose, watching the film for a specific time. But it does not mean you own the seat.
Right. And the theater owner can still walk into the auditorium. You can't sleep there overnight.
Correct. It separates the activity from the property. The source defines it as granting a hunter the right, which is the license, to recreate, which is the hunt. It completely sidesteps that whole tenancy issue.
That is such a subtle shift, lease versus license. But the legal implication is massive. You're moving from property law to contract law.
You are. And what's fascinating is this wasn't just some theoretical, you know, legal exercise.
Yeah.
This change had real-world consequences. It solved a major regulatory headache.
Yeah, I saw that note about the Midwest, something about real estate agents.
Yes. So you have these guys who act as leasing agents. They're brokers. They find a farmer with good hunting land, find a hunter with money, and they connect them for a commission.
A matchmaker for hunting. Pretty standard business model.
Exactly. Well, in a handful of Midwestern states, regulators started looking at these guys and saying, wait a minute, you're brokering leases on real estate. That's real estate work. You need a real estate license.
Oh, wow. And getting one of those is no joke. That's classes, exams, background checks. It's a whole career path.
It's a huge barrier. It basically kills the business model for these agents. So the AHLA pushed back. They asked, why would the same license required to sell a condo in a busy downtown high-rise be necessary just to advise a farmer on the benefits of a hunting lease?
They have a great point. Selling a condo is high-stakes property law. Helping a farmer let a guy sit in a tree stand is different.
It is different. But as long as the contract said lease, the regulators had a point. It looked like a real estate transaction.
So this is where the vocabulary shift saved the day.
It is. The AHLA agreed to change the contract language from lease to license. They went back to the states and said, look, we're not brokering real estate. We're brokering licenses for recreation.
And the states went for it.
They did. The source says each of the states were satisfied. The agents didn't need real estate credentials anymore.
That is incredible. A single word change literally deregulated that part of the industry.
It just shows the power of precision. When you use the right legal word, you avoid all that bureaucracy and confusion.
So for anyone listening right now, the takeaway is pretty urgent. Check the top of your document. If it says hunting lease agreement, you might want to rethink that.
Or at least understand the risks. The AHLA basically claims their agreement is the industry standard because it handles these distinctions.
Which brings us to the solution they're actually selling. It's not just advice. It's a product. The risk management package.
Right. And package is the key. This goes back to the two cornerstones. You don't just buy a contract. When you purchase the insurance through them, it includes the use of their template.
It's a bundle. You get the liability shield and the paperwork. It forces you to have both.
And they're very confident in this paperwork. They say it sets the standard for the entire industry and has been reviewed by attorneys all over the country and always been approved.
Always been approved is a bold claim. Lawyers can usually find a problem with anything.
It is bold. But in the world of insurance and liability, consistency is king. If every agreement uses the correct license terminology, it's much easier to defend. It creates a standard.
Now, a practical question. Every property is different. Maybe I want to ban ATVs, or I have a specific gate that needs to be locked. A generic license might not cover that.
That's a great point, and the source addresses it. They have a lease agreement builder, so you can produce a, quote, rock-solid agreement that is custom-written for your specific situation.
I like that. So you get the legal protection of the license language, but you can still add your own house rules.
Exactly. You can define all those parameters. No fires, archery only, whatever it is. That's where the handshake details get formally put into the license.
Okay, let's get down to brass tacks. We're talking lawyers, insurance, custom agreements. This sounds like it could get expensive for a small landowner.
Surprisingly, no. The source gives some specific numbers, which is great. It's priced on a per acre basis, so it's scalable.
Okay, what are the numbers?
The text shows two tiers, 14 cents per acre and 24 cents per acre.
14 cents an acre, that seems tiny.
It's very accessible. For 100 acres, you're talking about maybe $14 to $24 for the base coverage. It's a fraction of what you'd pay a lawyer for 1 hour of their time if something went wrong.
And for a bigger operation, like a timber company or something?
The source notes a bulk consideration. It says, if you are wanting to cover more than 7 landowners, please call our office for special pricing. So they have tiers for the heavy hitters, too.
And it's not just for, you know, deer hunting on a farm, right? I saw some other categories in the source material.
Good catch. Yeah, they cover a broad spectrum. They list vacant land insurance, guides and outfitters, and hunting clubs.
Vacant land insurance is interesting. Why would I need insurance if nobody's even there?
Liability. If a trespasser gets hurt or a tree falls on a neighbor's fence, you're still liable. That risk management mindset applies whether you're actively using the land or not.
It really all comes back to that one idea, professionalizing the handshake.
It does. Taking something we treat so casually, recreation, and recognizing it has very serious legal implications.
So let's zoom out here and recap. We started this deep dive thinking about a simple hunting trip.
And we ended up in real estate law, tenancy definitions, and regulatory debates in the Midwest.
We learned the two cornerstones, insurance and the agreement. And that you really need both for it to work.
And we learned that the word lease is a legal trap. It implies you're a landlord renting out an apartment.
Well, license is the key. It just grants the right to an activity, not possession of the property itself.
Exactly. And that distinction was powerful enough to change state regulations.
It really makes you think about the power of the words we use every day. We sign things all the time without reading them. Terms and conditions, user agreements.
We do, and we assume common sense applies. We think, well, obviously I didn't mean he could live in my barn, but the law doesn't run on assumptions. It runs on definitions.
If a judge looks at a paper that says lease, they have to apply tenancy law. If it says license, they apply contract law. The intent matters less than the vocabulary.
That's it, exactly. You can't rely on the spirit of the deal if the letter of the deal says something else.
So here's my question for you and for everyone listening. We've seen how changing lease to license solved this massive problem. It was a common sense word that was legally misleading. What other words are we using in our daily lives that are doing the same thing?
That is the provocative thought, isn't it?
I mean, think about it. When you buy a digital movie on a streaming service, do you own it?
It's almost certainly a license. If that service goes bankrupt, your movie is gone. You bought the viewing rights, not the property. Just like the hunter.
Or when you hire a freelancer, are they an employee or a contractor? That one word changes your tax liability, your insurance, everything.
It's everywhere. The words define the reality. And in this case, the AHLA has provided a roadmap for this specific minefield.
So next time you're shaking hands by that pickup truck, maybe keep the handshake. It's a good tradition. But you should probably follow it up with a license, not a lease.
Your future self and your lawyer will definitely thank you.
Thanks for diving in with us today. Check your paperwork, stay safe, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.